But here's the thing that Ecclesiastes 8 verse 11 say. He say, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Well, I greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ at this hour of our day. I would like you to turn together with me to Luke chapter 19. I asked the other day that if possible that you can read the life of Zacchaeus, because we talk about crime. We talk about does crime pay? And you also know that we use the word sin interchangeably, because crime is sin. Sin is a crime. And I trust that you did read it. If you forgot about it, okay, no problem. Because we're going to read Luke chapter 19, the life of Zacchaeus. If you got it, let us just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, this hour of our day where we can bow before your word with much reverence. And Father, in awe, as we sing the opening song of tonight, I stand in awe of you. I know that many of us know this portion, Lord. Some of us don't. 23 million people in South Africa has either one Bible or nothing. So there is nearly 23 million people that might not know this truth. And we are so privileged to have your word. I think in my own house there's a lot of them. We can build a dam around us. And there are those who do not have even one sheet of that. And I pray that you will speak to us and make us alive unto your word. Not so long ago we talked about the characteristics of the word of God. If it is still, is it? And the question was, is it? Is it still relevant for today? Is it still authoritative? Is it still God's breath? Is it still sufficient, more than enough for man's problem? And Heavenly Father, as we bow down to that and we say, yes, and all of that, and more, that you will speak to our hearts and that we will bow down and listen and apply in our lives this hour of our day. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 19, as from verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho, and you will remember Jericho in the Old Testament was cursed, and as it has been cursed, it was said that you will not be built up again, and if anyone built it up, he will, on the cost of his son, will die. And they did it. They built it up again, and you can remember Elisha was also there, where before he, after Elijah went to heaven and Elisha had to go back, and before he left Jericho they asked him to please to do something for them, because it is cursed, the land and the animals all are barren, and he lift the curse. So here Jesus come, entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed in a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May the Lord really bless the reading of his word in our hearts. If I can recap a little bit, because I want to continue tonight further, where we ask the question, does crime pay? And I also said, remember, I used the word crime and sin interchangeably, the same thing. Crime, as we said, it is a violation of a law, either from God or a law of God or a law made by man. We violate that, it's a crime. And if you do sin, you commit sin, it's a crime. You're breaking the law of God by sinning. And we use some examples to say, if I lie, I break a law of God. Because he said, thou shalt not lie. Steal, theft, thou shalt not steal. What is the 8th commandment? Thou shalt not steal. What is the 5th commandment? Honor your father and your mother. How many of that do you know are of guilty of? So when we commit a crime or a sin, sin is crime, crime is sin, it's wrong, it's breaking something that God forbid, then I am guilty of a crime or of a law that I break. And then I need to pay the consequences of that. We also look a little bit at what restorative of justice mean. And I said, when I was working for 3 years as a service provider in a prison together with a prison ministry, restorative justice, to sum it up, has also the motive, the purpose to help stop crime. And also to see that there comes restoration, that there comes healing for the offender, for the victim, and for the community, and also for the offender and for the victim, for their families as well. To see that justice is being served, and that everybody at the end of the day, that sin will stop. And we ask the question, where does it start? And we said, it starts at home. Yeah. If I can maybe technically say, or theologically say, it starts in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve violate God's law. We see, I said, that Adam is breaking God's covenant. And he gave him a law, he gave him a commandment, "You shall not eat of that tree." And what did they do? We know the story. They was disobedient and they do their own thing. They rather be rebellious against God. And God was looking for returned love. Although God loved them so much, give them everything. There's no lack, there's no want. Everything they need. Everything to enjoy except one forbidden tree. And Satan deceived them. And instead of saying no and stick to the no, they've been deceived and they give in to persuasion and they choose to follow their own reason, their own cleverness, because God has withheld something good from them. And that was supposed to be life to them, that Satan offers them, is death. And until today, it's exactly the same thing that Satan comes to us, all of us, because all of us are criminals, born criminals. That sounds hard. That sounds, how can I say, very rude of me to say I am a criminal. Another word for the Bible says we are all born sinners. And that is also a tough pill to swallow, to say I am a sinner. You know, I am born a Christian. And we saw in Romans 5:12 and in Psalm 51, there's no such a thing as that someone can say, I am born a Christian. I am born a sinner. Away from God. Estranged from Him. An enemy of Him. With no hope and no Christ in this life. Until I come to Him. And He's my hope and He's my life. So that is what we look a little bit to it. And we ask the question again and again, like I'm going to do it tonight. Again, the question is, does my sin pay? Does my crime pay? And I want to say yes. I want to say yes. That's why we did it. Because the wages of sin is death. That's the payment of it. There is a payment. There is a pay. There is something that I'm going to get out of my sin. Something that I'm going to get out of my crime. That's death. It looks like life, but it's actually death. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of that is death. And we don't look at that. We think, no, I can get away. I can bribe someone because money talks. Isn't it? It don't sing and dance, but it can't walk, but it talks. And if I can bribe my way right through this life, I have a news flash that waits for me, and that is you can't bribe God. You can't get away. Remember Numbers 32, verse 23, your sin will always find you out. Doesn't matter what you've done. And here is the thing, because of heart, the heart of man is so desperately wicked. You know, we can be very scallum. You know what scallum means? Very crooked. We can be very clever. And you know, they say, I forgot the saying now. We can get so scallum that we can actually believe ourselves. And here's the thing of, does crime pay? And I say, yeah, it does pay. I want to tell you a story, but before I go to that story, I want you to go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. But here's the thing that Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11 say. He say, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, people's hearts are filled with schemes to do wrong. Now, it all depends what your translation is saying. Because I commit a crime today, or commit that sin or that devious act, breaking the law of God, all the laws that God, and remember, we said in Romans 13, all authority is being given by God. He put them in place to protect us from the others and the others from us. Protect God from us. You know that we not sin against Him, but we do. And that we don't go from bad to worse and then perverse. That's why God put the laws there. He say, all authority is God given. They don't carry the sword for nothing. They are not there for love and charity. They are there not to break the laws themselves. They are there to uphold and protect the community, the same community that the church serves. So they have their responsibility, and the church has their. That's why we believe in the church and state are not, you know, we are not a state church, but there's separation between state and church. God give a mandate to the church, and God give a mandate to the authorities. They must do certain things, and the church must do certain things. And both of them serve the same community. This one do the laws and protect everybody from everybody and make sure that we all live, have streets and electric lights and equal rights and all those stuff. And the church come and also minister to the brokenhearted so that by at the end of the day, people can find Christ. But a problem come when the same government turns against God and make their own rules and regulations and disregard God. And people commit crime for, they will do it for this little bottle, whatever is in it, and kill you for this. And because I'm not been caught today, and there's no punishment been ex- executed today. I thought and I think in my mind, I get away with it. Nobody knows about it. And now my heart is full to do something the next time, something more worse, more bad. If I steal this today, tomorrow I can kill you because I get away to this, because people think they are untouchable. Not so long ago, I made an example of a car. You know, this robot, before they start working here, and the robot was many times not working, like many times, and it does work. And then I said, if I have the habit to skip every time this red robot, I don't care about the other cars. I don't care if the light for them is green and for me is red. Man, I go because I own the road. Maybe I pay tax, it's my road. I am the king of the road. And maybe you start from wherever you come from, let's say from Phoenix or from wherever, and you just skip every robot, every red robot, and every time, no crash, no smash, no nothing, no policemen are chasing you, and you think, man, I'm untouchable. And people have to stop for you because the light is for them green. It happens with me one time. As the light is for me green, that red for light that goes to Tongat was red for that man. And I hear how he put that pedal through the metal, man. And he's coming. I said to my wife, listen, that folks, it's a VW, a GTI, whatsoever. I could hear how that carburetor's just open. And I said, he and I stop. And he's come. Man, he have enough time to stop for his red robot. And he just, whoop. And then that one particular Sunday when I used nearly the same example, it was not, I wonder if my words was cold after the service. Bah, huge accident, skipping the red robot. And now it's everybody else's fault except me, because I think I deceive myself that my crime pay. I think every time I'm invincible, no one can catch me. So deceived I am. Because every time when I'm not being caught and the punishment is not carried out, my heart is filled to do next time worse than what I've done now. This is what Ecclesiastes say. And because I'm not being punished, and sometimes I can get away with it, even if they do caught me. You know, I can tell them, I have a form here because I signed the R200 and the R100. Which one do you want? And they want the form. I open my wallet and I say, there is a R200 and a R100. And they look at you and say, which one of the forms do you want? Then say, give me the R200. You know what I'm talking about? If not, maybe you will get the revelation later on. Because everybody, they say, everybody has a price. Does my crime pay off? Yes. I want to tell you here something, because if Ecclesiastic 8 say, I'm not immediately caught, I want you to see you didn't get away with God. You might get away with a lot of people, but not with God. But something was also here in Hebrews where I say, Lord, many times, and I want, if I can say the grace of God, Lord, I can't say it is the grace of God when I commit a crime. That I am not being caught. That people was not dead in this accident. You know, it's unbelievable. The times that we are in accidents, for two, I think I can count it on my one hand and all of my life, was none of them our fault. None of them. I think I bragged one day, and I don't want to say brag, but maybe I was bragging. I never had even a speed fine. Because I try to keep the laws of South Africa. God said in Romans 13, I have to. Otherwise, they don't carry the sword for nothing. Oh, and I know Satan also listened to that. And I think I have two or three after that I have speed fines. And I learned my lesson. But then I see something of God. He put it there for me to break. For me to sin against? How must I see it? Hebrews come and say something about that. And as I, Hebrews come in Hebrews chapter 2, let me go Hebrews chapter 2. He talk about the patience of God. I've not been caught. How many times I sit in the counseling room and I hear many times my counselee say, you know, I should have been dead. I should have been alive. You know, when they shot me or shoot me, they missed me. Or I was in this terrible accident and I was so goofed, so plucked. Then I read here in Hebrews chapter 2. We must, from verse 1, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Why such a great salvation? Because we have such a great Savior, such a great God. There's such a great heaven that's going to wait for us. There's such a great, great punishment that wait for those evildoers who do not obey. Such a great punishment. And then he said, there's such a great salvation. This salvation was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. How shall we escape? I was supposed maybe to be dead or severely injured, but not. Listen to what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, as from verse 9. When verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Verse 15, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Why am I not dead when I commit that crime or that sin? And maybe you never think about it because God don't want you to die in your sin. He don't want me to die in my sin, forever been lost without him. I want you to see something of God. And don't think that God agreed to the crime that I've done or the sin that I commit. No. The patience of him. Because he saw and he looked at my future. Chris, you may think you get away with this. I want you to see something of my patience. I and the devil don't sit in the same table here. And I want to bring God in it and say, if it wasn't for my protection, I don't want you to die in your sin. Why don't you give me your heart? Long time ago, when we was working in a community under the colored people in Pretoria, from Monday to Friday, we stay on a farm and we're renting there. And we have to go into the school for our children, drop them off. And from there, we go to this colored community. From the time that we drop them to the time that we have to go and pick them up, we do door-to-door evangelism. We distribute tracts. We get a tract, a whole chart, a map of this whole community. And we start from one point and work that whole place through with each one. Where there's a person in the house or not, we leave a tract. Some of the places you can't go because of the crime, it is fenced and there's dogs. So you just put it in the post box, or if there's no post box, you put it in the fence or underneath. Some of the dogs just tear it apart. So we make sure that we do that whole community, me and my wife, those years, by the grace of God. Then on Sundays, 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I took my amplifier and my guitar. We go to that place. There's 6 blocks flat, 6 or 7 of them. We ask for some power and we pay them for the hour that we're going to be there. And I sing my songs and I preach for them. That goes on for a long time. And then first the children come and we minister to them and through them their parents. One of the aunties asked us, please, I want to talk to you. Can you come that day, so and so? So we arranged the date and the time. So we go there. We're sitting there with our Bible, talking to her. There was a knock. I think I did mention it. And I don't expect anybody. I don't know if she expects somebody else. But she opened the door and this gangster walked in. I didn't know at that time. And then I see they look around and he chat. And there he go. She said to me, that is one of the gangsters that come to see if I am her hit man. Well, I hit people with the Bible. So now I know I am a very hostile territory, and I heard a lot about this place. Well, God specialized in difficult people, and I believe they can be saved, and a lot of people did come to Christ.